This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you are well.
Early rise this morning, but well, thank you. And just a lot of snippets really floating around. Howard, I noticed that you've written on your social media about the sanctions that have been applied to Francesca Albanese. And with some justification, because even though she has the role as special rapporteur, who has been appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council on the issue of the Palestinians, and of course, in that role, we would expect her to have a fairly one-sided view on the world. And to say that she has a one-sided view would be kind of an understatement of fact. The thing that really bothers me about Francesca Albanese in her role and why I think these sanctions are so justified is that she actually utters untruths in order to support her point of view. It's not enough that she conjures up, you know, all kinds of truthful information in a certain narrative in order to present a very one-sided view. She feels the need also to tell stories which is just simply untrue, or on the other hand, also simply not to acknowledge certain truths. And so she's really been on a drive to try to accuse Israel of sexual crimes against Palestinian prisoners being kept in Israeli jails. That's just one of the little bugbears that I have about her. She's been on and on about accusing Israel of raping and committing sexual crimes against Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails without an acknowledgement of the sexual crimes that were committed on October the 7th. Now, it feels like those people who are trying to accuse Israel of sexual crimes and sexual harassment are trying somehow to cover over what happened on October the 7th in order to kind of even up the playing field, to say, oh, well, you know, it goes on both sides and we criticize both sides for committing sexual crimes, not one and not the other, but, you know, we don't like the fact that it happens on both sides. But she hasn't even acknowledged the nature of the sexual crimes that were committed. So that's just one of the little things. I mean, we could have a very lengthy conversation about her and the things that she's said and done. Kudos to the U.S. administration, who have slapped sanctions on her, in addition to quite a number of members of the International Criminal Court. And I think it's just a real statement, a sad statement, that the U.S. government finds the need to put sanctions on people who are theoretically representing an independent body. The United Nations is supposed to be this body that kind of represents all world all the members come from all around the world and are trying to promote the interests of global peace and global understanding. And yet the one-sided nature of the actions and statements that they make is just astonishing and very, very sad. So that's my rant about Francesca Albanese today. And I don't think she deserves a lot more airtime. But I feel
just,
that...
Yes, just one thing to add to it, and it's more for listeners, is just be careful of the way it's being reported, because across South African media, it's being reported as that she has been sanctioned for her criticism of Israel or criticism of the Gaza policy. It's not because of that. There are many people who have been highly critical of Israel and who remain critical of Israel and Israel's Gaza policy who haven't been sanctioned. It's because she is an anti-Semitic liar. So I think that needs to be clarified, and just be aware of that. Anthony, an IDF soldier was killed in Gaza yesterday, and that was after attempts were made to kidnap him. What a crazy story this is.
So this really is a crazy story, and this is Master Sergeant, Reserve Master Sergeant Avraham Azulay, who unnecessarily lost his life yesterday, only 3 weeks after getting married, and was called in to do reserve duty. He was a bulldozer driver. And the bulldozer drivers, these people who drive the heavy machinery in Gaza, which has been very, very active in trying to clear out the lie of the land. And they are exposed because these are generally people who sit on top of a huge machine and therefore are clearly a target for snipers or people who want to try and hit them. And so therefore, the amount of security that goes around these heavy machines that are being used, building machinery, for want of a better term. He was a driver and obviously was in this very, very exposed position. But it wasn't that he was sniped. They actually physically tried to kidnap him. And it just shows that there is still force in Gaza that, in spite of the massive, massive presence of Israeli troops and firepower and air force cover and tanks and all manner of other firepower that the IDF has in Israel, in Gaza, they are still able to somehow target certain weaknesses. And I guess they identified Avram, who was sitting on his bulldozer, as a potential weakness. I don't know why the security cover that usually accompanies these heavy machines wasn't in evidence. They tried to kidnap him. He fought back. He wasn't going to be allowing them to kidnap him. He understood the significance of that more than anybody. In the end, instead of kidnapping him, they killed him. I know that there is a certain view which some people would say that it's better that he wasn't kidnapped. It's better that he wasn't taken into Gaza. It's better that we can bring him home to bury him. It's not good. It may be better in the view of some people, but this is simply not good. This is just another life that's unnecessarily lost. 889 now Israeli soldiers have been killed over the course of this war. And of course, a young couple snuffed out right in their honeymoon period. He was just married, as I said, for 3 weeks. And unfortunately, that union now killed in its infancy. We just have to take our hats off and give immense admiration, not only to our soldiers who are out there fighting every day, men and women on the front line, and so committed to this job that they're willing to put their lives on the line, but also to those families and partners who are left at home worrying while their partners are out serving our country, and some of whom unfortunately have to pay the ultimate price. I think they deserve our immense love and our immense admiration and appreciation for that sacrifice. And I think we need to remember there's so many families who are left mourning loved ones, families that are broken up, children that are left without parents through this war that we've had to fight. They pay a massive price, and I think we should never forget the price that they've paid.
Absolutely. It's just so, so heartbreaking. Another missile, as you alluded to earlier, was fired from Yemen by the Houthis earlier this morning. Any impact?
Well, the one single missile, ballistic missile, fired from Yemen towards the central part of Israel. They managed to wake up most of central Israel. I saw the map that shows where the sirens were sounded, and it pretty much covered most of central Israel. That was at 5:30 a.m. this morning. The missile was intercepted by Israel's Arrows anti-missile system, and there were no reports of any injuries, no reports of any damage. But of course, a grumpy nation this morning as people.
And you don't want grumpy Israelis, that's for sure.
Especially not on a Thursday when you've got to go and fight in the Chalakus, you know, and all the rest of it before the weekend. So, yeah, people are just, you know, unfortunately being disturbed. And for the Houthis, that is the measure of their success. It's worth their while to spend the money and to take the chance on firing a ballistic missile if it only manages to get Israelis into their bomb shelters for 10 or 15 minutes. That's all they really want. That's a success story as far as they are concerned. And the real question that is being asked is, assuming that we do manage to somehow reach a ceasefire arrangement in Gaza, and assuming that we do somehow manage to bring some of our hostages home, or all of our hostages home, whatever has been cooked up in the United States right now, let's assume that all of that happens, hopefully in the coming days, but over the next whatever period of time. How does that affect the Houthis, if at all? And the indications are that it won't. The indications are that we are still likely to live under the threat of Houthi missiles being fired towards us, even if we manage to get to a ceasefire arrangement in Gaza. And, you know, so that is a very kind of perplexing situation, because with Yemen being as far away as it is, and with the measure of success for the Houthis being, as long as we can wake people up in the middle of the night and send them to their bomb shelters, and as long as we can get Ben Gurion Airport to disrupt its air traffic flow for 10 or 15 minutes, we think we've won the day. We think we've done a great job. We have achieved our objective. If that's going to be their objective, then this is going to be a very, very long and tiring process.
I thought they were linked to the Hamas ceasefire. Is that not the case?
There have been mentions of it in the past, and they've certainly mentioned it. But I think there's an increasing concern in Israel that they may not. And I don't know to what extent that's being discussed or not discussed, whether Hamas have said, we're going to stop the Houthis or not, or whether the Houthis are considered to be their own independent operation without any reference to anybody. They're just doing their own things. I think that there is a major concern right now that the Houthis are kind of operating independently, but in cooperation with Hamas and with Iran, and of course with Hezbollah and with others. But the concern is that in the event that we somehow manage to silence the guns around our immediate border, we've somehow managed to take care of Hezbollah, we've somehow managed to reduce what's happening with Hamas from Gaza. And what happens if we manage to silence all of those? You know, we've got the Syrian border now that's much, much calmer than it was this time last year. There is still the concern that the Houthis are their own kind of renegade group. And they have this massive power, which is the entrance of the Red Sea towards the Suez Canal. That is major economic power. And of course, they feel this power of getting Israelis up and stopping the flights at Ben-Gurion Airport, because that's also some sort of a power that they hold. But let's be honest, that the economic impact that they've had from the piracy that they have committed in that area around the coast of Yemen that leads up towards the Suez Canal cannot be underestimated. And
that's what I don't really understand, because they have, in the last couple of days, there's been an increase in this. There's been other international vessels attacked. Surely it shouldn't only be Israel's problem, this.
Well, we've seen the British Air Force get involved in attack Houthi targets in Yemen. We've seen the Americans attack Houthi targets in Yemen. The American attacks went on for almost 2 months while they attacked all manner of targets in Yemen. And yet, we still are pretty much back in the same situation that we were this time last year where they were concerned. It doesn't seem to have impacted their ability to fire towards us or to hold the world hostage through their piracy around the entrance to the Suez Canal. Doesn't seem to have impacted any of that kind of stuff. They're still doing the same things and behaving in the same way that they did this time last year. So I don't know whether the world really has the appetite to get very, very involved, or whether they're just going to leave it up to Israel again to take care of this. But I think that this is an increasing irritation. I mean, I don't consider it to be a threat that we feel is a kind of existential threat, but it's certainly an irritation, more than an irritation, which we just cannot allow to fester and continue. So I think potentially once Gaza is taken care of, and hopefully that will be taken care of very, very soon. I just wonder what the IDF is going to make of the situation in Yemen and what action they may well take. I think the world will probably support whatever Israel decides to do, but ultimately, guess is going to have to take care of it.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. Thank you once again for a phenomenal week of reporting. We'll catch you on Monday morning, wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.